This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, September 15th. Well, we had a firm day in the wheat space yesterday. All three markets were stronger. Corn was higher as well, while soybeans were basically steady to slightly lower. In the wheat space, we have Kansas City kind of leading the way higher, just quietly moving premium to Chicago for the first time in about 3 years. We'll probably find a little resistance here on that spread, as it's a notable resistance area. But nevertheless, I think the fundamental support that spread continuing to perform well. Kansas City, I think, will gain against Chicago just in general, unless you get some weather issues going on in the southern hemisphere where hedge funds would want to pile into the wheat market. They likely would be leaning toward the Chicago market. And that's not out of the question. We are looking at some dry conditions developing in Australia in particular, which is kind of a flip of what we saw earlier in just at the very start of wheat's growing season, where Argentina was the one that was trending a bit dry and Australia looked fine. Now it's kind of the other way around. Argentina has had some nice rain recently, whereas Australia has turned a bit on the dry side, at least for the last couple of weeks. And the forecast suggests that there's another couple of weeks ahead of us to be on the dry side. So this is still early in the growing season, certainly could have an impact on long-term yields. But in the bigger picture, at this point, we don't see any disaster developing in either Argentina or Australia. But if you start to shave back yields and production, that does cut into world production, obviously. And these are two major exporters. So it just further cuts into the major exporter stocks to use ratio, which is already sitting at a record low. We've got the Stats Canada report was out yesterday for all wheat production, coming in less than expected, down about 1.2 million from last month and about 200,000 tons less than what the trade was looking for all wheat at 21.7 million tons, which is also about 1.5 million below USDA's most recent estimate here just last week. For Durham, that really is where much of the loss is coming from. At 3.5 million tons, that was 250,000 tons less than the estimate and down 400,000 from last month. Spring wheat was up 100,000 from the estimate and down 800,000 from last month. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but you know, the bottom lines were just confirming that the crop continued to get worse as time went on. USDA probably is still sitting a bit high on Canadian production. We're also looking at yields here in Russia. They're, you know, toward the tail end of their wheat harvest. This is would be coming into the spring wheat harvest, and yields are continuing to be below what the expectations were. So they're still ratcheting down Russian production. Private guys are starting to talk about 70 to 71, whereas USDA has them at 72.5. That's going to be at 70. That's still another 3 to 4 million tons less than where the private guys were here just a month ago. So I think that with the lack of improvement in Russia's yields, that the government is just simply not going to be willing to consider reducing, much less eliminating, the export tax. Domestic Russian prices have continued to move higher. That pushes the tax higher because it feeds on itself. It's a function of the domestic or the FOB offer. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for them. You know, their stocks are going down, prices are going up, and the export tax goes up, which pushes them further away from export competition. That leaves Ukraine and Romania to pretty much fill the void in the Black Sea. I would imagine Romania is pretty much sold out. Ukraine had a record crop, good for them, but they're just a fraction of what Russia produces. They're less than half of what Russia produces. They will be out here fairly soon as well. So that leaves the United States and Europe as the northern hemispheres, at least as far as winter wheat goes. And for hard red wheat, hard red winter wheat, you know, high pro, it's just the U.S. Spring wheat stocks are extremely tight. U.S. was presumably going to import some wheat from Canada. That's unlikely to happen. and Canada was going to import some corn from the United States, and corn yields here, you know, they're very early in the harvest season so far, but yields have come in a bit less than expected there as well. I think that's underpinning the corn market. If that is the trend, then this corn market takes off for yet another run in the longer term bull market. We were presuming we would have record yields of corn in the southern Midwest and the East to offset the losses in the West. If that does not materialize, then you're going to see a significant drop in corn production estimates, and that just puts a little gas on this bull fire that's been smoldering and kind of whimpering along for the last couple months. I think that just changes the dynamics of the corn market, which by default changes the dynamics of the wheat market. It just adds more fuel to that bull market. But even on its own, without the corn market, wheat is in a bull market. And I think that by itself, it can move higher into early October, just along with the normal seasonal factor, until we get the southern hemisphere harvest in the pipeline. My guess is that we'll stay strong, at least for the hard wheat, the high quality hard wheats, into early January and perhaps in early February. There are the seasonal tendencies, which tend to be a nice little pop to the upside in early January, and then another run higher in early February, which often turns out to be a major high, that February high. You could certainly make the argument that this bull market in wheat would last that long. My suggestion is that it will last into early May, at least for spring wheat, because you've got to buy acres in North Dakota whose farmers are also looking at corn and soybeans, canola, all kinds of crops that they can grow across North Dakota and even into eastern Montana that would pull them away from spring wheat. And so with the corn market showing some signs of life here, that could change the dynamics of those spreads and the planting ratios for next spring. So I don't see spring wheat backing off really at all until you get into early May. By then, you know, decisions will have been made, and usually that's a major high as well in the wheat space, is that early May time window, right around the crop report. So that's kind of my ultimate target if we're continuing to move higher. Now, right now, the wheat market's trying to buy some winter wheat acres, which is understandable. You're going to need an increase, especially for hard red winter wheat. So far, conditions are pretty decent. There's no reason why farmers wouldn't increase winter wheat acres, other than you've got high-priced corn, soybeans, cotton, sorghum. These are all competitors as far as space goes. And I think that you'll probably see a little bit of a bump in winter wheat acres, kind of like we had last year, but will it be enough to really, you know, satisfy the market and provide some comfort level? So there's a lot of dynamics in the wheat space, and most of them are bullish, and I think this market is well supported. It's well founded in a well-rounded bull market, and I think it's got plenty of upside potential. The one hiccup that has kind of thrown a wrench into this is Hurricane Ida, which did a significant amount of damage to export facilities in New Orleans. And it's going to take a while to get those back on track, especially a Cargill facility, which suffered some significant damage. They're talking another couple months. The rest of the facilities, you know, the talk was that they would be online this week. Well, they're not quite there. Now they're saying by early October. We'll see, but that backs up a lot of product, and it certainly stalls out any exporter putting out FOB offers out of the Gulf. It definitely has been a depressing factor in the grain space, and I think that once those exporters come online, preference will be given to corn and soybeans. Wheat tends to take a back seat during corn harvest, and we're right at the beginning of the major part of the corn harvest. So I can see perhaps hard red out of the Gulf will be a little subdued as far as basis and FOB offers, but that doesn't mean you can't push it out to the PNW, and it doesn't mean that world demand will be subdued either. I think that that's going to show up And again, if you're looking for hard wheat, you've got Ukraine, but I don't think they're going to last very long in the export market. And that just puts all the business over to the United States until Argentina and Australia come online, which at the earliest would be November, that wheat would be hitting the world pipeline. So we've got some time to work it here. Seasonally, you tend to rally into early October. I don't see any reason why that would not happen. And it could extend a bit more than that, or it could have a bit more energy depending on the weather conditions in the Southern Hemisphere. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.